We'll call the Board of Supervisors back to session. Taking all recording devices are good. We're going to do item 10C, and we're on the presentation of staff report. Dr. Clark and Ms. Bray.
Good morning again. Sarah Kalar, Director of Health and Human Services, and with me today is Madeline Bryant, Staff Services Analyst, who is also our Housing Coordinator and our PLHA expert. So we thought we'd give you an overview of the PLHA program today, and we're here to answer any questions. So as all of you may recall, the county applied for the county's allocation of PLHA several years ago during the first NOFA, and that funding we're using towards the Siskiyou Crossroads project, both for construction but also for ongoing operating costs. So as you might also recall, PLHA is a broad, ongoing affordable housing program funded by the fees collected on real estate transactions. The state's annual revenue estimates for the 2022 PLHA program's NOFA is $335 million statewide. I can never tell if I can read that or this better, so I think I'll look at this. So there's two types of allocations for PLHA. One is a formula, and it's available to counties and incorporated cities in five-year cycles. And jurisdictions are permitted to delegate their allocations via formal agreement, which is why we're here today, to another jurisdiction to administer on their behalf. So, for example, the cities and towns can delegate their funding to their local county. There's also a competitive cycle, and that is available to counties that don't receive funding directly from HUD. So the target population for PLHA is households earning 60% area median income or less, including those who are homeless. Higher income households may be served through certain activities, such as home ownership programs. The formula funding was released on August 17th, and the five-year plan and funding applications are due no later than October 31st. So just to point out Madeline's amazing abilities, they were supposed to release the NOFA in April, and last year we had until December to apply. This year they moved that date up, though subsequently they've moved it out. But she has pulled all of this together for a very complicated project, and we're ready to go by their initial deadline. But I think it's now December, right?
Yeah. Actually, right after the board agenda deadline, they extended the deadline to November 30th.
Yes, which is something we had asked them about because we have such a complicated proposal, but they had said, no, it's never going to happen. So this is the final year that jurisdictions can apply for the 2019 allocation. And so Madeline, since she's been on board with the county, which is 2 years about, she's been outreaching to the cities within the county, offering technical assistance or any help, you know, reminding them that the program exists and that they're eligible applicants, but none of them have had the resources or the capacity to apply for this funding. So this year we reached out again, actually in collaboration with the city of Wairika, and you know, just let them know that if they don't apply this year, they will lose that first allocation, the 2019 allocation. Competitive funding is out there as well, and it doesn't have a sunset date, but we're not at this point interested in that funding. So it's a five-year plan and funding allocation. The state issues a template which details the eligible activities and the jurisdiction is selecting by year and by percentage of funding being allocated, a description of the selected activities, certifications that the PLHA guidelines will be adhered to, adoption of authorizing resolutions by the jurisdiction's elected body, a legally binding agreement from delegating jurisdictions. There are threshold requirements to receive the funding, and that is that each jurisdiction must have a current certified housing element and be current on filing of the housing element annual progress report. So as I'm sure you're aware, the county and all of the cities are in the process of updating their housing element. And I know that there have been some challenges there. We've, you know, been in conversations with all of the jurisdictions, and they've had difficulty locating contractors to assist them in that process. But we're hoping that they will, you know, have those, be able to maintain those, that certification through the grant cycle. If they don't, then we just, you know, the state holds on to the money and we don't receive it until they're in compliance. So, and it sounds like the state is recognizing that many jurisdictions are having challenges with this, and it sounds like they're giving some leniency.
Currently, they need to be in compliance just at the time of application. So all of the funds that are available in this NOFA, which includes the city's last three allocations, they're still in compliance for and could receive. When we go to apply next year, then we'll have to reassess who's in compliance.
So eligible uses. There are 10 categories of eligible uses for formula funds. And thank you. These eligible uses broadly focus on affordable and workforce housing and services to people who are experiencing homelessness or at risk of experiencing homelessness. So the cities of Doris, Dunsmuir, Etna, Montague, Mount Shasta, Weed, and Wairika, and the town of Fort Jones have agreed to delegate their funds to the county for this 5-year cycle. And they will, at the end of the cycle, they will, you know, have an opportunity to continue to delegate to the county, or they may choose to stand up a program on their own. The city of Tule Lake is interested in developing their own program, and Madeline has, you know, been sharing our experience and providing some TA to them. And I'm not sure what their project is, but it sounds like they're working hard on that. So the estimated 5-year total allocation is $3,673,117. And again, it's based on real estate transaction fees, and so it can go up and down, but that's what they're estimating. And there is a 5% administrative cost that the county can use to administer the grant. So our request today is that the board and this is the one then that the board
it's just what we plan to use.
Oh yeah, so these are the activities that we're looking at to use the forms to use the funds for. To establish capital reserves for services connected to permanent supported housing, to establish operating subsidies, and to assist with costs for supportive case management services and navigation. So we at the county have, I think, done a really good job of applying for and being awarded grants for housing, but this is the only source of funding that is ongoing. So we also have really struggled with capacity around housing. We have, it's just really challenging at the moment, as I'm sure you're aware, to hire people that are willing to work and want to work in this field. And so we are hoping to recruit a service provider that can address all kinds of homeless issues that we have in the county and staff our various programs as we are able to develop them. So we're really hoping to use this funding, which is ongoing, for that purpose, because we haven't wanted to, you know, to put out an RFP thinking, oh, we have 1 year of funding or 2 years of funding, and we can't guarantee that that's an ongoing source of funding. So we are requesting that the board approve the resolutions and agreement and authorize the county administrator or their designee to execute the PLHA program. And actually, the recommendation on the agenda sheet is more comprehensive, and so we're requesting that you would authorize the one that we submitted on the agenda worksheet.
Okay.
And it will allow us to receive the funding from the cities and to, you know, use it for future housing programs.
Presentation of any correspondence, Ms. Moore?
Not at the at the clerk's level.
That presentation by any other county departments or public agencies?
Sure, not online.
Online. Any proponents or opponents?
Not online.
Any public comments?
Sure, none online.
None online and none in house. There'll be no rebuttals. Ms. Wendy, first reading. This is
No, these are resolutions and agreements, so we can close the hearing.
I'll close the hearing. Any discussion? I'll have just one comment, but any discussion or questions by board members?
Sure.
So, ahead, Supervisor Crofton. Yeah.
So, trying to frame this in a light that'll make sense, I guess. How does this funding compete with housing, the housing element altogether? And I heard you say something with regard to planning that we're going through that housing element process now, but is there a conflict here, or is there something that should be working together? I don't know if you'll be able to answer that, or if planning staff can answer that, or but that's one thing I heard that I need an answer to.
Luckily, we brought the expert.
Okay.
Yeah, so it is a requirement of the PLHA grant that it align with the housing element. So it doesn't fund the housing element in any part of it necessarily, and it's not directly connected, but the program requires that when you plan, right in the application, you write a five-year plan. So in that five-year plan, you explain how it supports the goals of your housing element. And I wrote a five-year plan for each of the cities that is interested in delegating funding. And in those plans, you can see there's a question in the application where we address that for the state.
And how does it work within the county itself and our housing element, or does it?
So the county's allocation for PLHA is aligned with the county's what was, you know, we applied 2 years ago, 3 years ago, so it aligned at that time with what was in the housing element that now is ending, right? So there's a new housing element. It's being updated, and it's January 1st. Does that go into effect? So
because we're still using the current, the housing element that is currently on file with the state, that's the one that this application needs to align with. So, like, for example, we're going to use these funds, and they will support goal HE1 of our housing element, which is to ensure the availability of a variety of housing types for all income levels throughout the county. And in the applications, we list other goals that are stated in our current housing element, not the updated one, and how our activities align with those goals and support those goals. But it doesn't require any work on the part of our county staff related to the housing element. It's just
no, and I get that, but I guess I'm trying to get to, will there be a conflict with this program and the new updated housing element?
No.
Okay, that's what I need to know.
Yeah.
Thank you. All right. That answers that. Then the other part of it is, what's the population of Siskiyou County residents that are homeless? Siskiyou County residents. I don't want to know transients. I want to know Siskiyou County residents.
Sure. So I don't know if we've gone into this in detail, and I apologize if you already know this, but every year we do an annual count of the homeless in Siskiyou County, and we do that count in January, which is a time when there aren't really a lot of transients in the county because it's so cold here. So we get a number of the people that are really homeless here year-round. Now, that number is a severe undercount because it's a challenging population to reach, and because last year, due to COVID, we had extremely limited volunteers. There was an outbreak the year before. There was an exemption from the federal government from doing the count. So in our last count, which was not very comprehensive, we had 321, I believe, homeless individuals in the county. But I expect this year that number is going to jump. Whether or not there's more homeless, just because we'll be able to do a better count, hopefully, without having such an issue recruiting volunteers to do the count during the pandemic.
So some of the reports that I'm getting are there's a network out there of Come to Siskiyou County. We aim to serve, and they're coming as far away as Florida. So I guess what I'm after here is I get the need, but I don't want to grow the need from the outside bringing in just because there's money on the table. So that's my concern.
Yes. Yeah, we share that concern because, of course, we have limited capacity in the county, and you know we really want to serve the most vulnerable and residents of Siskiyou County. So many of our programs require that somebody have a history in our benefit system, for example, as being a resident in CalFresh or CalWORKS or something like that. I would also just point out that a lot of other counties have more options for the homeless in terms of how they can offer them housing or shelter. And that's really important because of the Martin v. Boise decision, which essentially says we can't move the homeless, like we can't ask them to leave an area unless we can give them a better option. So where we're at right now is a lot of jurisdictions can offer something else, so they can ask people to leave. And in Siskiyou County, we can't do that. So we're somewhere that people could come. So in a sense, having more options to offer them gives us a little bit more control over where they reside.
And lastly, does the housing program require your department to provide more services to these individuals, or is there some responsibility on the individual to maintain care for the facility, whatever that it takes, you know, to live?
Yeah, we develop our program guidelines in accordance with our funding streams, right, which allow us to have certain ones and not have others. But for example, in our housing support program, that is housing to help people who have minor dependents and are searching for jobs. So they write lists of, documenting their housing search, documenting their job search, and provide that to our social workers.
I think we have multiple housing programs, right? So there are housing programs that are funded with behavioral health funding. There are housing programs that are funded with money that comes from CDSS on the social services side, and then mostly Madeline and I work on grant programs, right? So so we have multiple housing programs, and as Madeline said, we write the program guidelines based on the funding. But the majority of our programs, you know, require, like on the behavioral health side, you need to be participating in services to avail yourself of housing, right?
Yeah.
So there are, you know, and that varies from program to program, but there are those requirements.
So do we create an atmosphere of dependency, or do we create an atmosphere of, assistance, but also putting someone back on their feet?
All of our programs have that as a goal, helping people to get back on their feet.
Okay.
And one of the challenges with that is, with a lot of our one-time funding, we can't provide enough structure sometimes to get somebody back on their feet. And that's where it can turn into a temporary assistance and maybe not the substantial hand up that they need. And that's what's kind of special about PLHA is that it's ongoing. So it provides more opportunity to strategize about addressing this problem as opposed to kind of quick reactionary getting people out of the snow solutions.
One more thing, and I'm sorry, board members, but I might as well go down the path. With regard to, does this conflict with other housing development in any, do they compete, I guess, with other housing development for, I know workforce was in this program, but as the county grows potentially for industry and workers, does it compete with that housing element at all?
No. I know the city of Wairika is very interested in developing all kinds of housing, and so this, as you saw in the presentation, is for, you know, incomes of 60, you know, below 60% AMI. So we will have another opportunity at the end of this cycle to develop another plan, and we're certainly open to helping, you know, develop workforce housing, because this was such a short time frame. We made our best guess of what, you know, we could do with, you know, with what we have available now, but that's certainly a conversation we can have in the future for, you know, that sort of more middle population that we don't serve, but we can certainly work with, you know, the city of Wairika to develop that.
Thank you.
Any other questions from colleagues? For me, just a compliment to Dr. Clark and Ms. Moran. I didn't see you in other cities, but I saw you in the city of Montague. It's very well done.
Madeline was everywhere. She's done an amazing job. HCD just cannot believe. They said Orange County is the only other county that's attempted to do something like this to get all the other jurisdictions on board. And her initiative in reaching out, they were just so impressed. They said, they were.
So I got positive feedback from the city of Mount Shasta. I did reach out to Ms. Bryan. I want to tell you that she returned my call, so I'm grateful for that. You better keep her.
I know. I'm trying.
But I wanted to, if I could, real quick, I want to comment on the point in time study. You know, I was back in D.C. with Dr. Margaret. I know we've done a home study. I mean, you know, there's no one that doesn't understand that a point in time study is just that. A point in time is very much underrepresented. You know, you cannot find these people. You know, all you have to do is look at South County and see how much dispersed camping is out there in the summer months. You know, you have waves that come and go. It reminds me of one on the coast. When I was living on the coast, you know, when it rained, everyone started heading south. You just have a transient population. That, you know, I personally think we should be taking care of our own first. We will trickle down. You know, at this point in time, you know, we talk about workforce housing. We don't have any housing. We just lost housing.
Right.
That's great. We don't have
every
any
year,
homeless shelters.
Yes.
We don't have any of this stuff. So anything we're doing, moving forward, I support. Thank you.
The point in time survey form, in the past at least, has asked people being surveyed how long they've been in the county. So that information is available, and it was on there last year. So we're happy to provide you with the point in time information from that perspective.
With that, I would entertain a motion from any colleagues.
Move to approve.
Motion by Valenzuela. I'll second.
And before I do the roll call, I just have a quick question. Madeline, we discussed the, of course, the resolutions all get signed today, but the agreements, we were going to put those through DocuSign, correct?
They are in Elizabeth Nielsen's inbox.
Awesome. Thank you.
Awesome.
All righty. Supervisor Howe?
Aye.
Supervisor Kopseff?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yep.
And Supervisor Chris?
I'll be an aye. With that, we have all agendized topics other than closed. I'll go to...
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, please. I'll go to board and staff reports. So we usually will pull out our calendars. Does any colleague want to go first?
I was just back in Monterey. We had our California State Association Executive Board retreat. One of the discussion items there, and we will follow up, is on the water. There's going to be a presentation at the annual meetings. There was a question for you. And a lot of info out of that. You know, it was a topic at our round table, whether it was urban, suburban, or rural, how important water is and the effects they're dealing with. So, look more on that one. Thank you.
Super
second. Yeah. Since last board meeting, I'm happy to report you know, we did have our billing department meeting, and I think it went pretty well. We do have a number of remedies that I expect to see before the board when.
It came today.
In the resolution? The whole thing?
You didn't see it?
Well, I saw that, but I was interested in how the union piece.
That's the Davis County Administrator.
Sorry about that.
No, that's okay. That's okay. But the first step in that process was completed today with the addition of positions. The union piece with discussing salary increases is currently in play.
All right. Thank you. That part I missed. I thought that was a sticking part. Anyhow, I'm anxious to see how that plays out, because we didn't covered a number of things through Rick's help and sitting down and you know, kind of going over staging it through that. I spent the day yesterday with Matt Parker on the Big Springs Ranch and reviewing the draft plan for the Big Springs Ranch. I'm happy to say that from my perspective went pretty well compared to where we were. Did we start negotiating that 5 years ago?
Almost, yeah, 4 or 5 years.
5 years ago. I'm not sure if what the process going forward is going to be for ratification of that. I know the board has to review, approve, or recommend.
The management plan?
Yeah, the management plan. Anxious to get that in front of the board if they haven't seen it. Happy to report that there's a local manager has a very strong land ethic that's centered on a more global perspective rather than just fish, but how the whole ecosystem works out there, and facilitating both the water needs for the continued grazing program, the fish programs, and the upland programs seem to be pretty robust as well for development of wildlife habitat up there. They did unveil that they've got an 1,800 acre juniper contract that's just about to go out for juniper removal out there and groundwater recruitment based on that. And a number of other water projects that they're looking at. The tribe's been out there a couple times taking a look at it. And standing on the bridge, I was able to look down and see salmon actually spawning in the river out there at this point in time. So it was a good, pretty good trip. That's all I got.
Is the juniper there on the ranch itself?
Yeah.
Okay.
The management of it. For those that maybe lost track of this, this is what the TNC purchase of the Louie Ranch years ago, and then it being purchased by the state. You know, it's mainly a fish project, but it's developed a little more than that with Supervisor Topsoff's influence and my influence on the management.
Supervisor Thompson? For myself, went to McLeod Harvest Festival, Apple Harvest Festival, Klamath Water Users Association tour with some people from staff on that one as well. And then Volcanic Lake is the scenic byway had our strategic plan meeting a few days ago. With that, nothing else on open session, we will clear the room and go into closed session.
Excuse me, sir. I need to have a minute because I was approved for a declaration, never got a phone call. It's been weeks and months now, and I'm concerned about my community. So I do have presidents. I've lived in Wairika for 30 years, so you guys have already approved a declaration. But
well, we just closed media public comment this morning, ma'am.
Yeah, my boss.
Yeah, I agree.